Two new articles from Newsweek are talking about the massive collapse in investor home buying in the US housing market. And this collapse in investor home buying has the potential to make the housing crash in America even bigger, with markets like Atlanta, Jacksonville, Phoenix, Charlotte, and Nashville experiencing a 60% collapse in investor home buying demand over the last 3+ years. And as this video goes along, I'm going to tell you more of the cities where these real estate investors are selling out, because we're already starting to see home values drop in many of these areas. Prices in America dropped in 27 out of the 50 states in April, and in May, they look to drop further. The investors went from buying up all the homes to no longer buying to now selling, and sometimes selling at an absolutely massive loss. You can see that this is a 1,700 square foot house in St. Petersburg that a big Wall Street investor purchased for $550,000 in April 2022 and just ended up selling for $391,000 in March 2025, an astounding 25% plus loss. And what these investors do, folks, is they make the bubble bigger, but then they make the crash also bigger. It's not as if investors buying homes just makes prices go up forever in an area. Rather, it makes prices more volatile in an area. And you can see a new article from Newsweek just talked about this. They interviewed a housing expert who sees an alarming trend occurring in the market, specifically the collapse in investor demand in the US housing market. In a market like Atlanta, investors are buying 65% fewer homes than they did at the peak of the pandemic. They interviewed some other people who said that while lower demand from investors in some markets may be seen as worrying, it could actually be a good thing for potential buyers in coming months and years. Less demand for housing from portfolios of some investors will equate to more affordability, particularly in markets like Atlanta, Jacksonville, and others that have seen a substantial decline. Now, interestingly, I was actually the first expert quoted in that article. Newsweek has been running some articles recently looking at my posts on X. I mean, we're talking declines of 40, 50, 60% in investor purchases. You have to ask yourself the question, what's going on here? Why are the investors bailing so hard on the market? And why are they now selling homes at huge, huge losses? And what does that mean for the future of home prices in your neighborhood? Well, let's just look at some data about what exactly is going on here with this investor home purchase situation. As you can see, data from Redfin is showing that on a national basis, the investor purchases peaked in 2021, and they have since gone down by 50% through the first quarter of 2025. So in nominal terms, investor purchases are at the lowest level in a decade. The last time we saw any type of decline like this was 05, 06, 07 before the big crash. How about Phoenix, everyone? In Phoenix, the investor purchases are down about 62% from peak. And what's concerning in Phoenix is something like this happened in the mid-2000s. Investor purchases went up to 6,600 in 05, collapsed down by about 75% by 09, and Phoenix had a massive housing downturn. And sure enough, in Phoenix, you can see values are dropping all across the metro, according to data available on Reventure app. They're down as much as 5% year over year in some investor-dominated zip codes. And from the peak, actually, in 2022, some of these markets are down as much as 12% in value, which is a pretty substantial correction. And the reason that this is happening, the reason the investors are bailing on the market, is it's simply no longer affordable to own real estate from a cash flow perspective. You're not really making much money from rental properties anymore, given the economics of the rent, the vacancy, and how much the property insurance and taxes are. And I just want to show you guys the math on this, because when you see the math of what these investors in the housing market are facing right now, you will realize just how dire this situation is and how the investor demand is not going to return anytime soon. And what I'm doing for you here is actually breaking out a pro forma, a rental pro forma on this property in St. Petersburg I showed you earlier, where the investors took a 28% loss. And the reason the investor took a 28% loss is this pro forma. Take a look at this. According to Zillow, the monthly rent on this house is $2,500 a month, which is $30,000 a year. This is how these investors size up these properties. So if you want kind of an insight into, how Wall Street looks at real estate, this is it. Now, you then got to back out the vacancy. In this market, it's around 7%. So your net rental income on this property is $28,000. But you then have to deduct your taxes. The property tax bill for this house, I looked it up, was $7,900 last year. $4,000 for insurance. In some markets in Florida, the insurance is way higher. Maintenance is about 0.5% of the current market value. Small charge for water. And then you have 5% management fee. So your total expenses, everyone, on this house that you're getting $28,000 in rent for, your total expenses are $16,000, meaning your net operating income is $12,000 a year. Now, I want to stop right there. $12,000 a year is how much you would make from this house if you bought it and rented it out and then paid your expenses. The thing to look at, though, from an investment perspective is how does that compare to what you'd have to pay for the property? So the original investor, who was a Blackstone-based entity called Home Partners of America, they bought for $550,000 in 2022, which represents only a 2.2% cap rate or return on their purchase price. Now, the new buyer bought for $391,000. Which is obviously better. He got a much better deal, 28% off. But the cap rate's still only 3.1%, everyone. So the returns are still really low. And the problem here, even for the new buyer, I don't know if the new buyer was a homeowner or another investor, but if they were an investor, right, and they were to take out debt to buy this property, their annual interest on that debt would probably be $18,000 a year, which would mean they'd be minus $5,400 cash flow even after getting a 28% discount on the previous purchase price. So what you realize when you look at this data is that for any of this to make sense for an investor, the actual price, the actual market value needs to be like $265,000 for this house. That's the only way an investor could buy it and actually earn positive cash flow. And when you look at the data from this perspective, you realize that the housing market downturn has a long way to go, that this is just the beginning of the downturn, because the investors helped cause the boom. They're one of the main reasons why the prices went up so much. So when we're now so far away from properties deriving any type of return for an investor that's positive, it's a sign that the prices need to come down a lot more. And later in this video, I'm actually going to give you guys some markets that as an investor, you can still buy today and make money. I'm going to actually give you some of the flip here, because there are still some markets with some decent cap rates and decent population growth that you as an investor can target. I'm going to talk about them later in this video. But first, I want to talk about how it's actually kind of amazing that all of this is starting to get out into the mainstream. You know, I've been warning you guys on this channel for the last 3+ years about the housing market downturn. Started posting the videos actually in the middle of 2021, so it's almost 4 years. And, you know, I was warning you guys pretty much off the bat that the investors were not going to be in the market for long, that the investors are going to stop buying, and that they're going to start selling. And when I warned you guys about that in 2022, everyone told me I was crazy. All the videos came out and said, what are you talking about? Wall Street's going to buy homes forever. You know, we had all these articles back then about how if you sell a house, the buyer might be a pension fund. Yield chasing investors are snapping up single family homes, competing with ordinary Americans and driving up prices. This article came out April 2021, and they talked to John Burns Consulting back then, who said, you now have permanent capital competing with a young couple trying to buy a house. That's going to make U.S. housing permanently more expensive, but it's not. You know, it's not making it permanently more expensive. This was the thesis many people had 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, and now we're seeing that thesis unravel. Because folks, what happened during the pandemic was very unique. And I want to make sure you all understand this, because a lot of you are looking about, you know, buying a house in the next year, and you want to know, are prices going to drop? And, you know, is the demand going to go back up? Or is the inventory going to keep surging? And how much are they going to go down? Just, it's important to anchor yourself in the realities of what's occurring, right, with the investors dropping out of the market. And the fact that the only reason they were ever in the market in 2020 and 2021 is because of interest rate suppression. The Fed printed $5 trillion during the pandemic, and mortgage rates went to 3%, and investors could borrow at even less than that. And when investors could borrow at even less than 3%, it made it a no-brainer to buy real estate. And what we saw for much of the last decade, everyone, was the 10-year treasury yield, what you would get if you bought long-term government debt, hovering anywhere from 2 to 3%. Then during the pandemic, the 10-year treasury went to 0.5%. And when the 10-year treasury was 0.5%, the cap rate for owning a cash flow rental property was 4.8. So you were earning a crazy spread. If you bought real estate as an investor back then, your spread was around 4.3%. your return exceeding the risk-free return of a government bond. But then look at what's happened since then. The cap rates have kind of stalled out. They went down a bit to 4.4. Now they're back up to 4.8. In the meantime, the 10-year treasury is now around 4.3. So that means the spread on the 10-year treasury above buying real estate and renting it out is only 0.5%, meaning that it's really just not worth it to buy real estate from a cash flow perspective, because you could just buy a 10-year US government bond and get the same return. And so long as there's minimal spread between the cap rate for owning rental properties and the 10-year treasury, we are not going to see the investors come back in, and we're going to continue to see the investors sell, which will continue to perpetuate a housing market downturn in the markets where the investors were most active. And so the good news about that is, again, the investors are going to be on the sideline for a while, maybe I'm going to say forever. I'm going to come out there and say that there is a chance that what we saw during the pandemic is never going to happen again in terms of Wall Street investors piling into the housing market, because it's just a hard asset to scale. Buying all these individual homes in different neighborhoods and then managing them together when you can only get a 4.5% or 5% return and your cost of debt is even higher than that, it just doesn't make sense. The only way investors are going to come back in is if home prices crash hard. If prices go down 30, 40%, all of a sudden it will make sense economically to buy and own an investment property. You'll actually make cash flow. That's what we're going to need to see. And that's what we saw in the last housing downturn. The cap rates got insane in that last housing downturn. And I'm going to show you some data. I'm going to go back 10, 15 years right now, show you some data on just how attractive it was to buy real estate back then, and you know how attractive it could be again in the future if these home prices really do crash. So what we're doing here on Reventure App is we're going to investor metrics and we're hitting cap rate. So this is a premium data point. We have cap rate data for most metros, most zip codes in America, showing you how much return you get as an investor. And we're going to start looking at a market like Phoenix. Take a look at this, everyone. In Phoenix, in the last bubble, the cap rate went all the way down to 2.8%, meaning you earned almost nothing as an investor. That's why the investors bailed on Phoenix. Remember that graph I showed you earlier? The investors bailed out of Phoenix in that last bubble. And then there was a crash and the cap rates went up to 7.3%. You could get a 7.3% unlevered return in Phoenix from an investment property. Your gross rent would have been $14,000. Your typical home price was $142,000. It was a pretty good deal. Then all of a sudden, since then, the cap rates have declined. And today they're at 4.5%, meaning the prices went up way more than the rents. You're not really getting any type of return if you buy a property in Phoenix as an investor. And what we did here on Reventure App, we actually added the 10-year treasury yield to this cap rate graph if you click this button. So you could see, you know, wow, Phoenix was such an attractive area to buy from 08 all the way actually even to 2022 based on the cap rate versus 10-year treasury. Now it is not so attractive to buy. The cap rate and 10-year treasury are the same, meaning you get no excess return and that prices need to drop for investors to come back in. Another market that's like this, everyone, is Miami. In Miami, in the last bubble, the cap rate was 4.5. It was a sign of the bubble. Then it went up to 10% cap rate in Miami in April 2012. If you were an investor and you bought in Miami in 2012, you made a killing. Since then, the cap rate's gone all the way down to 6.1%. Now, your cap rate in Miami is better than it is in Phoenix. However, the issue is in Miami that the rent might also be in a bubble. You know, the rent went way up. Miami's rents are now equivalent to Los Angeles, and these cap rates might even be a little overstated given how much the insurance has gone up. And so, you know, what would you want to see in Miami? You would want to see, if you're an investor, you want to see cap rates going back up to 7, 8, 9%. That would tell you, hey, now's the time to get in. But not all markets are like this, everyone. Some markets actually still have a pretty good return. One market I actually really like is Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Cap rate there is 8.4%. So you could buy a house for $219,000 in Tuscaloosa. Your gross rent's gonna be $23,000 a year. And your net income's gonna be $19,000 a year, giving you 8.4% unlevered return. And you can actually see that cap rate in Tuscaloosa actually at its highest level, more or less, on record. So when you see the cap rate at the highest level on record, that's a sign it's an attractive market for investors. And our one-year price forecast in Tuscaloosa is actually plus 1.6%. So we still actually think values here are going to go up over the next year. There's a solid cap rate. If you're an investor looking for a market to buy, Tuscaloosa would be one of them. And if you zoom in, you could actually see the highest cap rates by zip code in a market like Tuscaloosa as well. So if you're an investor who really wants high returns, you could find the neighborhoods that have the best cap rates. You could also combine cap rate with other data points like population growth. Maybe you want to find a higher population growth area that also has a good cap rate. That's something you can do on Reventure App. Generally speaking, there can be an inverse relationship between cap rate and demographic growth. Sometimes areas with really high cap rates have poor demographic growth. Whereas an investor, you want to be strong in both of those, right? So if you are buying investment properties, you want to have a decent cap rate or a higher cap rate, and you want to be in an area that has strong population growth. On Reventure App, we actually allow you to research both of those data points. You can go to our filters tool, say, I want to be in an area with at least 5% population growth over the last 5 years and with a cap rate maybe above 7%. And then you get a list of areas that fit the criteria. You can go to table view and you can download a report of these areas into Excel and have that handy as your shortlist of cities or zip codes or counties across America that you want to go buy. And then you can reference this data every month to see how the prices are trending. And you can also find areas maybe where values are already dropping, so you can get a deal in some of these markets with higher cap rates, higher population growth. So what I would really encourage you guys to do, if you're an aspiring investor or you just want to learn more about the housing market and see where the market's going, target high return areas, go to Reventure App right now and sign up for our premium plan. Our premium plan is going to allow you to find the best markets to buy investment properties now and allow you to see where the best markets are going to be in the future with our price forecast. The premium plan is $39 a month or $399 a year. I would recommend you sign up for that annual plan because it comes at a 15% monthly discount. It's going to allow you to track this data over time. In the end, the $399 annual plan can save you tens of thousands of dollars on your home purchase or investment decision. So go to www.reventure.app right now, sign up for that premium plan, especially if you're an aspiring investor who wants to figure out which markets are the best to buy in 2025 and 2026.